Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good afternoon. Ah, yes, the levels did finally come up. We have levels, Houston. Welcome to another Hour of Truth. The question is it live or is it Memorex? There's nobody here that's old enough to remember that commercial. Terrible.
I'm glad I'm not that old.
Oh, boy. Welcome to the Hour of Truth. I have Phil Walthall on my right and James Usler out in left field. Carter remembers. Well, bless your heart, Carter. I thought maybe perhaps if I announced in the beginning that this was a repeat, then that would get us out of any trouble that we might get into going forward. But we're just going to get into trouble and face the music, I guess. That's just pretty much what we do here. Oh, me. It is.
Why are you trying to avoid something that's destined to happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's happened before, right?
You're wasting energy.
It's happened before, right? So we. That's the reason. I've been there before. I don't want to do that again. But the idea of having to, actually get corrected on that matter is like, oh gosh. But
praise
the Lord
God.
Loves us, we get corrected. So praise God.
Amen. And it's kind of one of those things, kind of on my mind, just in the way you're saying, we're having fun, messing around. But it is one of those things, man, not engaging to not mess up is a place of just really not a good place.
No, it's not a place of faith at all.
No,
it's a place
it really is. And the thing that is you're going to screw up.
Get
used to it. How else are you going to learn? We were talking about that some last night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's in that place, and we've kind of talked about the Chuck E. Cheese thing, and it's actually in that place.
The important thing about that is Jesus did not ever condemn the somebody who screwed up. He just gave him the correction. The one who condemns comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Absolutely.
And that way he would have you operating in unbelief without operating at all.
Well, see, and that's what I was getting
frigid
to, is because, man, I screwed up. Well, I'm not going to engage anymore. That's the place where the enemy wants you.
That's right.
But see, when you trust in Jesus Christ and His grace, you learn from those screw-ups, and you move forward. You learn from them. It's just another thing. I mean, the Lord's good. It's just another thing, and that's how good He is. It's just another thing for you to learn up. And to move forward and to go be a better servant for Him next time, because you have that in your arsenal now that, hey man, I learned something out of this screw up. I learned something out of this mess up.
If there's a place where presumption is all right, it's all right when you presume that the purpose you're here for is to learn from His example, Jesus' example. And you're not going to get it perfect first time, every time, but His patience and His grace and His mercy overcome that.
And they're magnified, too. See, that's the other thing. That's the other thing that is so good about the Lord, because His grace is magnified. I mean, look at David. What happened? His gospel, Jesus Christ, His gospel was magnified. It showed His grace, His love, and His mercy. And that was for everybody to receive of, if they would.
If you're willing to be a total screw-up, you can yet be a magnificent display to those people that you come in contact with that the Lord loves you and reach and isn't put off or offended by your screw upness.
Absolutely. And that grace is there
for them.
And see, and that's what gets magnified is the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. So, I mean, we were talking a little bit last night about some of our, you know, some situations we had, we were talking about, and some of the things that kind of came up. And our tendency would be, well, to not go down that road again, or not go do what the Lord would have you did because you screwed up when you did it the first time.
So what'd you learn? I learned not to do that anymore.
Right. And that's not the case necessarily. No, you go engage still, but you learn about in a different approach the way that the Lord would have you handle
right.
it, not the way that you would handle it. Or it might be something you just weren't mindful in the midst of something, and you learn to, you know what, be mindful. Be mindful of that. I thought it was a pretty good conversation there last night. But Paul, you were mentioning something, and we got James here online. I think we started talking before you even introduced James here. But we got James here online.
No,
as well.
I introduced him.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, I apologize. I didn't. Man, that's my fault. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm screwing up, man. I may as well just not. Like,
yeah, that's a wrap. Yeah.
Talk about being mindful, trying to. But Jay, we got James here as well. But one of the things you were talking about, and you know, at the end of the service, is that you can be a friend, and you talking about serving the Lord because you love the Lord. And I know Davey typed in online, and I don't know it pertaining to what it was about serving the Lord. It was right at 10:50, so I don't know exactly when that was or what he was talking about, but if you don't do it for love, do it for fear. And you know, and I was looking at, you know, I was kind of looking at that, and just serving the Lord. But one of the things is I was looking at, you were sharing that point, Paul, because you do it because you love the Lord. You just do it because you love the Lord. And one of the things is, it's just like,
if that trial of your faith is Peter's talking about there in First Peter chapter 1 turns up that you having not seen him love him, but there's always possible that when your faith gets trialed, there's a whole lot of people out there get surprised when your faith gets tried that you don't love the Lord is what comes out of that. And that's something you need to do something about.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Paul,
just having somebody find that out, that's something they need to know.
Well, I mean, look at, there are all kinds of areas, Paul, in our lives that's showing all the time where we actually choose to love ourselves over the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, that's just, I mean, I don't know about you. That, I can see that evident. I can look back on last week and go,
Romans 7 magnified.
I do.
It's just, it's, I find it a new law that with my mind I serve Lord, I'll serve God, and with my flesh, I'm going to serve the law of sin,
which is, and what you have is you don't have to anymore. Yeah. And what you do is learn in that process. You learn, oh man, Lord, last time I chose myself, Lord. Last time I know what this is. This is that old man. You know what? I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to obey to that. I don't have to submit myself to this old man, even though it seems the easy, direct, natural path to do. I don't have to.
Right.
I don't have to. But you were talking about serving the Lord because you love the Lord. You want to please Him. And I look at my wife as an example of that. I mean, wife, could you do that? She, you know what? I'd be happy to. You know why? She loves me. Mm-hmm. She loves me. She loves the Lord. She loves me. She'd love to do that. And, it, you know, that servitude that you're talking about in the service, you do it because you love them. You do it because you love them because...
If you say you love him, then you need to be have learned from him what a servant's heart looks like. He was a perfect servant.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it wasn't because, you know, he had his arm twisted behind his back and, you know, it was compulsion. It was because he loved the Father. And, you know, Davey said in the chat, if you can't do it from love, do it from fear. And that kind of sent me back to, I don't want to address that just yet. Let me go to the idea that this is a process that we so easily screw up in. We don't do it right. We end up yielding to selfishness and the love of ourselves. Jesus, that's why we have grace and mercy and forgiveness of our sins, so that we don't get bound up. Jesus does not bind us up. That is the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's where the condemnation comes from. It does not come from Jesus. It comes from the enemy.
And conviction and condemnation can be very close feeling. And what you got is a fear of the Lord is a healthy thing.
Right.
And you don't do it because if you don't do it, not doing it, some are saved by fear, some saved by love. The fear of that you're going to hell and your very salvation rests in the hand of the Lord, that is a healthy fear. That is something that's not natural.
All right, that sends me to Scripture, because we were talking about that at the end. Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
Amen.
Not spotted by thievery and murdering the flesh. Because the flesh is cursed. You don't want to hang out with that curse.
No. And you're talking about the love for the Lord. We're also talking about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is a good thing.
All right.
You know, also in the Scriptures you have also where Jesus is talking about, fear not them that can destroy the body, but fear him that can both destroy the body and send thy soul to hell.
Right.
Okay, and that's a healthy fear, and that's not a spirit of fear.
Right.
That's wrong, because when you fear God, the thing, you won't fear all these other things.
Right.
That which you fear is your God.
Right.
So all these other things...
Distractions.
Are distractions. If you're fearing all those other things, that becomes your God. No, you're supposed to fear the one that your very salvation, your soul of your... the salvation of your soul rests in. And that's Jesus Christ. That's what David did.
Right.
That's what David did. And see, that's a good thing. Some right. moved by fear. Fear of the Lord, that's a good thing. Some moved by love. Love for the Lord, that's a good thing. Both are great. Both are great. And not to be confused with the spirit of fear
right.
that the enemy puts out. Conviction, not to be confused with condemnation. See, condemnation is going to keep you from going forward in the Lord. Conviction is going to convict you to make the right choice in the Lord.
Right.
Condemnation keeps you from grabbing hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Condemnation drives you to inaction and never trying again.
And conviction drives you to grab a hold on the Lord and His grace and His mercy and to continue there.
That's right. That's right. The amazing. The amazing truth of all that is we let ourselves get bound up for no reason. There's no good reason, and we yield ourselves, therefore, to the enemy's work, the enemy's handiwork. And there's no need for that. You don't have to do that. And that's what, you know, holding every thought in captivity is to keep that from happening to you unawares.
And it can sneak up on you. I mean, Scott was reading out of Hebrews today, the sin that so easily besets you.
Yeah.
These situations that come up. I mean, we were talking about situations last night that you're in. We were talking about situations last night that I've been. We've been talking about back and forth about these. And these situations, and, you know, talking to Steve was just a word that kind of collapsed the walls. I mean, what I was looking at going forward, there's a wall in front of me. I couldn't. And what Steve Ward spoke against that wall and that lie that was before me, because that's all it was a paper massage. I mean, it was just, you can run right through the thing. To me, it was a thick brick wall, could not go through. And when that thing, I mean, just ripped those things down. And the situations that we hit, it's very easy. The sin that so easily besets us, when we look at the situation of going forward, they're looking like giants, they're looking like Goliaths, they're looking like the walls of Jericho, they're looking like these things and what we could easily do, and that what keeps us from going forward in the Lord is we go, can't do it. And then when you just, all you have to do is get your word, get your focus right back on the Lord, and those things come tumbling down, man. You don't, those things are nothing to the Lord, nothing. I think I was talking about that a little bit the last week, son. They're nothing. Move forward in the Lord, not in presumption, according to His plan, His promise, to what He has done. You were talking about holding every thought. You mentioned something Thursday night that was kind of interesting, listening online. Talking about holding every thought to the captive, or to the obedience of Christ. I'm messing that up. But you, I remember the point you brought is, you're looking at the obedience of Christ. Not your own obedience. I mean, if I look at my own obedience, I'm like, oh boy, I'm done.
Yeah.
But the obedience of Him to the Father and the fulfilling of that which He had done.
That's right.
That's something I can count on. That's something I can rely on. And that's why I can move forward.
That's why all the stuff I just talked about in that verse, in that chapter, can work. It can all work because Jesus Christ's obedience was perfect.
Absolutely.
And the commitment unto death so that we could all rise with Him.
And there's a personal responsibility for us to grab hold of that and believe that and trust that.
That's right.
See, He can't make you believe that or trust that. I can't make you believe that or trust that. You can't make me believe that or trust that. But it's up to us to make that choice.
Paul's revealing in that
for us. It's available.
Paul's revealing in that one of the mysteries, and it's the operation, how it works. This is how. This is how you fight through the enemy's charges. This is the breastplate of righteousness. That it is His righteousness. It quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. It hits it and they go out.
And see that. See, and just in that,
that's probably applied to the shield of faith.
It is applied to the shield,
not to the breastplate, but
the helmet of salvation,
right?
And they all have their points, but these are all supplied from God, and it's there for you. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You can't believe the enemy. You can't believe that old man. You can't. And really, we give enemy the enemy gets way too much credit sometimes. It's just our own selves that is the biggest battle that we have in that battle of unbelief. But it's right there, it's given. Don't buy into that.
How many people,
it's not true.
How many people spend their entire existence in Christ, their whole life, and don't wrap themselves around the operational process of this is how not to be beaten about and defeated all the time by the enemy. It is. That's what I mean by the mystery that he's revealing in that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 there. It is how it works. And if you can avail yourself of how it works, then you can be victorious in Jesus Christ from victory to victory to victory to victory to victory.
And it's given. It's supplied. And it's something you couldn't.
It's free.
It's given, right. It's right there for you. It's just you have to, what does David say? Doubt your doubts. You believe it. Believe his word. Be diligent in believing his word. I remember, you know, it was David not too long ago talking about the diligence. See, that's something that, but see, that's where we really need to recognize that's a place where we choose. Where Paul was talking about, but I choose to serve the law of God. So with the mind I serve the law of God. I mean, that was a choice he was making. And it talks about in the New Testament, you put on these things. They're all available. You choose to believe it. And don't let the enemy rob you from that. Don't let yourself rob yourself from that. Don't let that old man rob you from the goodness of God and the promise that which he has for you, for his people.
That's right.
Don't let it happen. And it doesn't matter. He's not a respecter of persons. You go down in Peter, you read a little bit more, talking about how he's not a respecter of persons. And don't give up the hope through those manifold temptations. Don't give up the hope. Look at the salvation right there for you.
That's right.
And it's actually in those tribulations, your faith is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened. James, do you have anything?
Well, when you were talking about that brick wall, and talking to Steve, and he said, you know what I mean, it really was like a paper wall. It reminded me of the scripture in John where Jesus was talking to the disciples, but it's true for all of us. In 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, when we're in the Lord, there's nothing that's going to stand in our way. There's nothing that we can't overcome. Not by our goodness or our own works, but by Him and His ability, not our own.
Amen.
You reminded me of that scripture.
Steve, with his agenda sermon, the truth of the matter is, if you turn your life over to the Lord, then it's His. And you don't have any agenda anymore. It's all about Him and His agenda. And if it isn't, then you didn't turn your life over to Him. Or you keep taking it back. And, you know, that's a transaction that really doesn't occur all that much in the natural. If you sell yourself out to somebody, they own you, and they're going to see that you remember that. So,
well, I mean, they become your master.
That's right.
Could you imagine?
And, you know, it talks about, and Peter also talking about making your elections, sure. You know, I look at that, making sure that your election, you're choosing the Lord. See, you look at God perform what He said He was going to do. He done it. And it's when you actually choose to make Him Lord of your life. See, He fulfilled His end. He fulfilled His promise. You know, where He says, I have overcome the world. That's something that's already has been done, James. That's already been done. And it's in that place where He fulfilled His part. But see, now it's you that make Him Lord. You choose that. You make that election of making Him your master. Go ahead, James. I apologize.
No, you're absolutely right.
Go ahead.
There's something you don't hear all that often. I'm sorry. And I apologize for being sorry. I couldn't resist that. I could, but I didn't want to. That you're right. You're absolutely right, Phil. That's something you don't hear.
I had no idea what you're talking about, but James, go ahead before you lose thought. Get sidetracked by this rabbit over yonder.
I'm trying to not listen to Paul.
I understand.
That's a good idea.
Master. Because we all too often allow ourselves to be our own masters. And if we look at it if we treated our earthly masters as, and when I say that, our employers, like we all too often treat the Lord, none of us would have a job.
You're right. And, you know, and also on that same note, how do you treat your earthly master?
Oh, you're supposed to serve them as unto the Lord.
Absolutely.
Well, people do. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
They're not doing another one right either.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. And by generation, I'm telling you, we hire new guys, younger guys all the time, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. You get a few good guys in there, but for the most part, our hiring rate is like 7 to 1. We hire 7 guys, we end up with 1.
Hmm? Well, a lot of that has to do with the entitlement. You know, all they have to do is clock in and show up, and they
but what I'm getting is
they've done their job,
right? And what my question is, you know, how do you treat your employer? Because do you think if you don't even treat your employer, your husband, or whoever's put over you as under the Lord, what makes you think? And you can't really, you're not serving the one who you can see.
But how do you think you're doing with the one you can't?
Yeah.
Do you think you really stand a chance? I mean, the ones that are looking at you, you're deceiving and trying to manipulate and control and get your own way. You know, if that's going to happen to the ones you can see, the ones you can't see, you're going to get away with everything in the world you can think when they're not looking.
But the truth of the matter is, you can't hide from the Lord.
That's right.
I mean, he's looking into our hearts. Is that one not?
So that's self-deception. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. And you deceive your own self. Do you oppose your own selves when you do that? You oppose your own self.
That's right.
And it's just not a good place. And it's really just a litmus test of seeing how you really are. Am I serving the Lord? Am I making him master and Lord of my life? Am I serving him? There's another point in
my attempt of humor was an example of whose agenda I'm on. If I'm on the Lord's agenda, then please.
Oh, it's David.
Take that for me. Whose agenda you're on?
Hello?
And let's see. Find out what he wanted. And and I'm ashamed of myself for distracting and trying to be funny. Being funny was an element is probably just feeding pride on my part. I enjoy being funny.
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean, funny? What about that was funny? So, we are engaging in text as we try to figure out what's going on here. As So James, talk to me.
Well, I mean, I know that we've talked about it before, but we all love the Savior part that Jesus Christ brings us.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Sure.
But I struggle, I can say personally, with that master part. You know, that for him to become your master and master, and when I say that, I mean in an entirety, is entirely dying to yourself. And
right.
I think that's where, I know I struggle, I'm sure a lot of other people struggle, but that's that whole agenda thing. We have no agenda. I mean, what did Jesus do? I do nothing but of my Father.
As a matter
I only speak what my Father tells me to speak. I do what my Father tells me to do. if we can wrap our heads around that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the prayer that he said for the disciples, that they have, was it communion as I have communion with you? I'd probably messing that up.
You might John 17.
Yes, yeah.
You know, one of the things you're talking about there too, and what we're talking about here, James, is that personal responsibility. You know, what comes to mind, and the scripture that comes to mind, is working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that it's in that personal, I mean, that's where you make the choice to believe God. And you trust Him. And you go forward in what He has. And that's a personal choice you make. And that's a response that He's done the work. He's completed it. It's laid out for you. The plan's right there for you to partake of. But it's a choice that you make. It's a personal responsibility. I can't want it bad enough. I can't want it bad enough for Paul and it work out for Paul. Paul can't want it bad enough for me and it work out for me. I got to want it bad enough for myself, for me to choose.
Right.
You know, I know there's been many people and times that we have come in contact. We wanted it really bad for them, but they didn't want it bad enough for themselves to retrieve it and make them Lord and go forward in it. And it's very a simple thing. You know, you're talking about making Jesus Lord. You know, Paul, what good is it if I tell you, hey, Paul, go do this, 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 this. Or Davey or whoever the case may be, somebody over you in the Lord, and they tell you to go do this and this and this. What good does it you do? You expect the promises of God or for things to work out, and you go about doing your whole other thing. That's not going to work out. He's not going to award that. That wouldn't be good for you.
Right.
Wouldn't be good for anybody else. And how does that work? That doesn't work. And a lot of times, that presumption spot, and when we turn those things and we blame God for all these things, is because we're told clearly. It's clearly laid out for us what to do. It's laid out in Scripture. It's laid out with authorities over us. It's just really laid out for us to go walk things out. And we sit back, and what do? We do not A, B, and C. We go do F, G, Z, Y all over here. And then things go astray and you're off the beaten path. And then we turn and we blame either minister or God or something. And we never were about making Him Lord or Master. We were about doing our own thing, our own agenda, making our own selves Master. And what we did was we didn't give trust to the Lord. We gave our trust in our own selves, and we just freed the enemy's hand. We walked out of his provision. We freed the enemy's hands to come steal and kill, steal, and destroy.
We thought we could keep our own thing going and put the Lord's name on top of it and then superimpose it. See? Aren't I righteous now?
And what you have is that happens all the time. And then they go, why, God? Why? And the whole time is like, I'm over here. You know, see, look, He takes care of His children. He does. And if when you're about doing His thing, that you're walking in that provision. He's there. He's covering you. Your mindset is to choose to serve Him. Even when He screws up, He covers you. And you know what? If you've been off the beaten path, you've been off doing your own thing, you can choose. You can turn right back around. It's called repenting. It's called true repentance, because you don't just confess it with your mouth. You actually turn from it with your feet as well.
Yeah.
You change your mind. You go a different direction. His direction. You serve Him. Don't worry about the rest.
That is right. Gail's or Scott one, or perhaps both. Maybe it's a tag team typing thing going on there. Talking about the Romans 7 dilemma that Paul talks about towards the end there, you know, of Romans 7. And the fact is that, you know, if you're going to live with the flesh, there you go. She says Gail. if you're going to live listening to the flesh and constantly ministering to the flesh, the flesh is going to take you down with it, and it's a life that it becomes the Lord. It's the ruler. It's dragging you where it wants to take you. You got to learn not to listen to that anymore, and not receive the prodding that comes from it being in agreement, in league with the enemy. That is a natural allegiance. You have committed yourself to a supernatural Lord. A Lord who spoke into existence that which is. That's bigger and bolder and more than anything you could possibly ever see. It is the difference between the Creator and the creation. There is nothing in creation in and of itself that speaks any goodness apart from the Creator. And the Creator is always greater than the creation. But we spend our lives, I see a country where I see people who are running around worshiping the creation and honoring the creation and not paying any attention at all to the Creator.
Well, that's the stark difference between the two. You got Creator, creation. We are the creation. We're not the Creator.
That's right.
He's Lord. That's what we're talking about. He's Master.
He's always going to be bigger and better and more and deserve it. We deserve second or third place status at best.
And the Romans said the potter...
potter is bet more honor than the, worthy more honor than the... Than the pot. The pot's worth more honor than the clay.
And what did the, you know, I mean, you talk about Pharisees, you're talking about the gold of you, but you swear by the gold of the temple, but not the temple, you know, and all this is where, and that's that idolization that you're talking about. We do it amongst ourselves.
Right.
So often, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
The biggest number one idol that people have now is us, our own selves.
Again, if you fancy yourself a believer and your life is yours, then you never turn it over to the Lord, and you haven't established who's Lord. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is not something that you spend any time thinking about. We're worrying about.
It says Lord and Savior. People just want the Savior part. They don't want nothing to do with the Lord part. Savior part, absolutely. Lord part, no.
You want the Lamb and not the Lion.
And you have. If you were talking about an awesome God who spoke things into existence, not only did He speak things into existence, but He came down just as we are, and was that perfect? Was perfectly obedient. With all the temptations that we are tempted with.
In all ways as us tempted likewise, yet without sin. He showed us it can be done.
Well, He showed it that He did it for us.
He showed that it could be done by Him. And because it could be done by Him, we can partake of that. We need to. We can't. If we could do it, He wouldn't have needed to.
Exactly. But He freed us. See, He freed us from that bondage. Before, we're in the bondage of that thing.
Right.
But He freed us from that bondage.
We still have a choice. We still have a choice there.
And it's a crazy bondage, too. It's a bondage that says, well, if you didn't see it, it didn't happen. It's like, that's my defense? Really? That's as good as it's going to get?
What do you mean?
Well, I did the dirty thing that I was supposed to not be seen doing, but nobody saw me do it, so I got away with it.
Well, right? I mean, how well did that work out for Adam?
Yeah, well, yeah. What? Yeah.
Man, it really didn't.
But it didn't.
And it's not going to be. It's not going to suffice. The only thing that's going to suffice was Jesus's blood.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And that's it. And you have... But you still have that choice. He has done that. He is, like we talked about, he's overcame the world. The thing was accomplished. His promise was done. And now we have that choice. We're free from that. And you see the power. I mean, it's not that we serve the God of the now. It's not that he came, done this, now it's over. No, you will see his power and his moving. He's given the power over the church. And you see his power. You see his moving. And we've seen it in our own lives. You know, and as Peter talked about how he saw and spoke with Jesus and seen him come down from heaven, all these things. He has what? A more sure word of testimony. He was talking about the word. We have his word.
Right.
We have that. And we believe that his word is true. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't let anything tell you otherwise. Let that old man tell you otherwise.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a place where you're easily deceived. And that's one of the things about the distraction of the enemy is that it makes you receivable of the deception. And that's never a good outcome. Your only hope is that somebody comes along and jerks you into consciousness. And says, you know, you're doing some self-deception here going on. Because it's gonna take you down. Here's the truth. Now, that's not... I just don't... In all my life, I've seen that happen very few times. But they have been since I came to Fisherman Ministry. Every one of those instances happened here that I have witnessed before I came here. I didn't witness it anywhere. So that's love. Sometimes, you know, it's the biggest thing in getting somebody back on track with the Lord. It's the only way to do it is to be honest with them and tell them the stuff that nobody else wants to say. Because the unwillingness to say it is putting them in de facto agreement with the enemy.
And sometimes it's a matter of discernment. I mean, some of these things might have something for years that you don't say to somebody because it's just not time. Yeah. I see a struggle with them, and just, Lord, get you. That obedience is very important. And learning that obedience and learning that discernment is very important. And because it's some of these things, it's about sharing the love of Jesus Christ and doing that as the Lord would have you do it. You might see a lot of, the Lord might show you a lot of things, but the Lord might not have you share, but one thing at a time with somebody, just like the Lord deals with us, one thing at a time. I know that within myself there is a lot wrong. got a lot to learn. There's a lot of stuff that come up that I didn't see before that came up that was has been something that probably has been going on for me for years. There's probably still stuff, but the Lord is good. He's gracious. He just peels over those, peels out the, off those bad layers at a time because I couldn't handle all of it at once.
Yeah.
So that is the time. Delicate, perfectly. Those situations that come up, all those things that come up, just are there one layer at a time. Helps me to see them for myself, get shed of them. Gives me the opportunity to get shed of them. Doesn't mean I'm gonna. It just gives me the opportunity to get shed of them. Gives me the opportunity to practice faith. Gives me an opportunity.
Right.
To allow the Lord to create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit with me. In me.
Absolutely. No getting around the goodness and the great mercy and loving kindness of the Lord. It's the patience, long-suffering. Have I missed any of the attributes that are attributable to agape?
I was thinking about, you know, the Lord, and we're talking about, and those that, if you be without chastisement, then you're a bastard.
Yeah.
You know, what the good thing is there is that the agape love of the Lord is there, and it's there for you to have. You know what happens when we're talking about, if we be without chastisement, that's a choice we make. We walk away from the chastisement. We turn away from that process. You know, you look at, I did it for years. You know, you guys, Davey, Steve, Ricky, you, tell me the truth growing up through my youth. Tell me the truth growing up from my youth. I would be without chastising. Something to be chastised wouldn't like, I'd go. I'd leave. See, I made myself a bastard. He didn't put me off. He was still there. You guys were still there. He didn't even move you guys. His grace and mercy was still there. But I chose to be without chastisement. Didn't want it. But it was safe. It was good for me. And he was good. He was trying to love me. Is what he was trying to do. Because I go out there, I almost got myself killed.
At some point, he showed you the difference. One was life and the other was death. Death,
yeah. But you know what? I guess who had to see that? I could have been told it for myself. And I didn't have to be this way. But for myself, I'm still so stubborn.
You had to come to a point when you believed it.
Yeah, I had to see it and believe it. See, that's a loving Father. That's that loving Father is able to show. And by His grace and mercy, He kept me from dying. And by people intercessing for me. And, you know, it just shows you the loveness. I mean, the loving kindness of our Father Jesus Christ and His provision for us. And His availability of the walking and the victory and the life and that more abundantly. And the salvation that's right there at hand. It's all right there, man. It's right there, man. We just got to grab a hold of it. We got to grab a hold of it. It's right there. It's a choice we simply make. It's a simple choice to grab a hold of these things. It really is.
Amazing. That grace.
You know, Phil, in your circumstance there, it shows a lot of things. It shows the love of the Lord. It shows the grace of the Lord. It shows the importance of prayer by other people like Paul and Ricky and Davey on your behalf. And it, you know what I mean? You, there was that easy way for you when they told you things and you chose to reject it and depart. But because of the Lord's grace upon you and their prayers, the Lord still showed you it was just the hard way. But not giving up on somebody is an important thing. Because Davey, Ricky, Paul, no, nobody gave up on you.
No, that's true.
You know, it was an interesting thing what Davey said to me a couple conferences ago. He says, they didn't look at what I was able to do. They never once looked at what I was able to do. They always just looked at what God was able to do. And not giving up on somebody, and no matter how screwed up they are, no matter how messed up they are, no matter how maybe in the flesh awesome they may look, and that thing is just that they can't receive because they think they're so awesome or whatever the case may be or whatever, no matter how it looks, you look at not giving up at somebody is looking at what the Lord can do in that person's life, and you look at the Lord. You look steadfast at the Lord. For their sake, you trust the Lord for their sake. It's you intercessing for them. And that's what that is. That's that intercession. As God, as Moses did with the people, and the children of Israel. See, that's why I'm still here, was because somebody was intercessing for me.
Yeah, and that place that you turned was near death. The Lord allowing you almost to die was love.
It's as close as you can get without.
But see, and the Lord had nothing with me almost dying. That was me pumping it in. You know, I mean, that was me. I get, you know, you use the word allowing, which is appropriate. But that was me, man. He didn't.
Yeah, he allowed you to get to that place.
You know, I mean, it was his intervention that kept me from my
dying. Yeah,
is what happened many times. I mean, it was more than once. It was many times, and it's like me going and walking out in front of the bus each time, and the Lord, you know, there's like angel was sent in, or the Lord just came and stopped the bus, absolutely nailing me, running me.
There's a law of motion or something going on there. Is that for each action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and. In his case, what was going on was the Lord was not intervening in the tanking, but the you know, the ministry had been done. It's about getting him to the place where he can see it. Now he's going there full throttle, just as fast as he can get there. But it's his doing, it isn't the Lord's. It was his choice. Those choices have consequences. And
the biggest consequence was death, and that's he kept that from happening.
That's when he intervened.
Yeah.
That's when
I mean, that would be of no return at that point. That would have been of no return.
That's right.
That would have been a no return. And now,
so I withheld intervention, but the intervention, it happened.
Now, you know, James, but that not giving up
in the nick of time.
That's a good point, and that's a point that I don't know. I know for me, that's just one that I need to grab hold of. I need to remember. I need to remember that intercession. We all need to, but I know that, I mean, I look at that and I think for me, it's like a bright light, something to grab hold of. For others.
I think that's a pretty good end point. A place to wrap for the week.
Amen. You know, it's neat how that works. We are talking about playing and recording, you know, these things. We're having fun beforehand. Ended up, I thought, being a pretty good service. So, pretty good hour of truth. Lord's
well,
good.
They haven't changed the access code yet, so that's probably a good thing. There I go, being funny again. All right, well, that puts a wrap on another week in the Hour of Truth, and we hope that you are blessed. It is a best of, I believe, for the Texas service at the top of the hour, and of course there's a lot to choose from in that. So stay tuned for that, and it won't hurt you to listen to it again if you heard it before. And for us, we just say, may the Lord bless you and have a great week.
May the Lord bless everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. May the Lord bless you.
And we're out.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.